Very distinctive sound from a group coming this way from Nashville, an Americana rock and roll artist named Slahetka. And he is with us, the front man for this group. And they will be at the Dyson House come Sunday. And, excuse me, Saturday night. Sunday, we've got Jimmy Fitzmaurice.
Friday night.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad you corrected me. It's May 31st, the birth date of Clint Eastwood, the 89th for Clint Eastwood. 89, by the way. And there will be quite a party for him at the Dyson House and with special guest David St. Romain. That is tomorrow night, and the Dyson House is now located at the Zeeland Street Market at 2031 Perkins Road. And we have Slahetka with us, and good morning to you.
How are you doing? It's great to be chatting with you.
Well, it's nice to hear your voice. And you've been doing this for a little while, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been a circus for quite a while, you know. I've been doing the solo career since 2014 now, but I was in a band for a long time, about 7 years before that. But yeah, I moved to Nashville 2 years ago. I was in California for 16 years, and it's been really good. You know, moving to Nashville is just a change, and just really feels like home. And it's just such a really great location too, just because you're almost like smack dab in the middle of the country, so it makes touring just so much easier.
All right. Well, Slahetka was just included by Rolling Stone as one of the 30 best artists they saw this year, and so. This is a fine group, and you are the front man, and your name is spelled S-Z-L-A-C-H-E-T-K-A. And
correct.
Until the Echo, which we just heard, was named one of the 10 best songs of the week from Scott Underwood, who's a music critic. So you've got some momentum with you as you come to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, it's been I feel really fortunate, you know, this past album that came out last year, it's been generating, you know, some really good press, which I feel very thankful for, just because it kind of helps the machine keep moving, it helps the gears keep turning, and it helps break into new markets, and this will be our second time coming back to Baton Rouge, so we're really excited. We heard about the Dyson House, and we're referred actually through our buddy David St. Romain, who is going to be sharing the bill with us. And he's just such a wonderful artist, wonderful human being, and it's going to be a wonderful, a magical night, you know?
I'm sure it will be. And Slahetka, you are a Southern-based artist, and I'm sure Nashville and Baton Rouge, they have a few things in common. And the audience here will welcome you quite robustly.
We can't wait.
Well, we look forward to your appearance Friday night. That's Friday night, as in tomorrow night, at the Dyson House, which is now based at Zeeland Street Market, where Stephanie Ferris stands tall and proud. And we will have Slahetka on stage come tomorrow night on Perkins Road. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. And we do want to note that the life and political legacy of Jimmy Fitzmaurice, we got a lot of reaction from the first part of our show today. It will be shown at 2 o'clock Sunday, June 2nd at the Old Governor's Mansion. Once again, that's 2 p.m. on Sunday, June 2 at the Old Governor's Mansion. And we will find out much more about the life of Jimmy Fitzmaurice, 97 years old. And Mary said he spent $14 million when he ran for governor in 1979. It was the most expensive governor's race on record at that time in America. And $14 million in 1979 money would be, probably around $50 million today. And Governor John Bel Edwards has, I think, $11 million that he has amassed, and that's considered a lot in today's terms. So in Louisiana terms, we are in area where we are leading the pack anymore is on spending for political races. We're joined now by David Epstein, and a few days ago we had a false start with him, but we're pleased to have the author of the New York Times bestseller The Sports Gene with us, and his latest work is Range, Why Generalists Triumph in a Specialized World. And good morning to you, David.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. You examined the world's most successful athletes, artists, musicians, inventors, forecasters, scientists, and discovered that in most fields, especially those that are complex and unpredictable, generalists, not specialists, are primed to excel. This goes against the grain from everything we've heard, David. How did you find out otherwise?
You know, honestly, it first came out of my previous work as the science writer at Sports Illustrated, where obviously I think we all know that there's this industry of early specialization in youth sports, and it was my job to look at the science behind these kinds of things. And when I went and took a look at the science of athletic development, and I saw all around the world, the work shows that athletes who go on to become elite typically do not specialize early. They have a sampling period where they do a lot of different things. They gain these general skills that help them build more specific skills later. And they learn about their own talents, and they learn about their own motivations, and they delay systematically picking an area of specialization beyond when their peers who plateau at lower levels have specialized long since. And so I got curious about that, how the science could be so clear and yet the practice so in opposition to it, and started to wonder if the same thing was true in other fields. And so I just kind of went from one domain to another, from art and music to technological innovation, and it turns out there's a lot there, and a lot of scientists have been asking this question before I was. I just sort of put it together in the same place.
The book is Range, Why Generalists Triumph in a Specialized World, and it is a groundbreaking research from David Epstein. And you certainly take a lot of things into account that we've heard through the years, like the 10,000-hour rule. How did that apply to your current findings?
Yeah, so the 10,000-hour rule originally, by the way, came from a very small study of a small number of violinists who were already very proficient. So it wasn't a very rigorous study. Obviously, you know, it's most associated with the writer Malcolm Gladwell, who has since sort of backed off of it. And what it turned out was, when I was looking in a variety of different domains, it didn't matter where it was, that this sort of zigzagging and accumulation of diverse experiences and the ability to bring skills from one area into another area was often what set people apart, not the sheer accumulation of a large number of practice. So whether it was looking in arts, like in comic book creators, those who made blockbusters were not those with the most experience or repetitions. It was those who had worked across the largest number of genres. In technological innovation, it wasn't the experts with the deepest experience in an area, but those who had spread their work across a large number of the U.S. Patent Office's different technologies, and they would merge knowledge from different domains. And so just going domain by domain and seeing that what looked like it could be a diversion or changing of course would turn into a competitive advantage as opposed to falling behind, even though sometimes it can look like falling behind in the short term.
Going forward, David, how do you think technology will impact the balance of opportunities for specialists and generalists?
I should be clear, I think we need both. I think one of the problems is we're only telling everybody to be one, not the other. I think we need both, but I think the science on this is pretty clear that the contributions of specialists in a lot of fields, but not all, is diminishing in a certain way. It's not that they're not important anymore, it's that you need fewer, because their findings are disseminated so thoroughly and so quickly that there are way more opportunities to take findings that are already well established and combine them in new ways. And so even if you look at patent research, you can see that there was a period before about 1990 when specialists in certain technologies were making the biggest contributions, for sure. But since then, since sort of the communications technology revolution, that has changed. And now it's these people who are working across domains. And in many cases, people who are very specialized in an area are the most amenable to automation, because one of specialists' great advantages in what they do is they start to recognize recurring patterns. And so they develop intuition for recurring patterns. But that also means that those are the tasks that are the most easy to automate, because computers are even better at recurring patterns. So I think the trends, technological change is really putting pressure on a lot of areas where people are hyper-specialized.
Well, we commend you for Range, the book from David Epstein, New York Times best-selling author of The Sports Gene, Why Generalists Triumph in a Specialized Hello. World. Thank you so much for joining us, David Epstein. And this is the 30th day of May, one day before Clint Eastwood's 89th birthday. And it was on this date 23 years ago that Bill Clinton addressed the Louisiana legislature. He was then the 42nd American president, serving his first term in office and seeking re-election. And Mike Foster, Republican governor, invited him, and he spoke. And then he spoke at the Pentagon Barracks later in the day. And Bill Clinton is the last Democrat to win Louisiana. He did so going away. And here he was that same week in a different year, one of his final years in office in 1999, 20 years ago, the 42nd president at Grambling State University.
I've been thinking a lot about family lately, and I expect a lot of you have. In the aftermath of the terrible tragedy at Littleton and the other school shootings we've had in our country, they forced us to confront the need not only to make guns less available to criminals and children, not only to make our culture less violent and our schools safer.
Bill Clinton talking about the issues of the day 20 years ago at Grambling. Back tomorrow. Stay tuned.